John chapter 20. Going to begin reading with verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. This next word is very important. But Mary didn't go. Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I remember one time after I had preached a sermon, I went to the back and I was greeting people as they left. One man kind of took me by surprise as he shook my hand. He said, Pastor, you missed the whole point of the passage. And I began to scratch my head and think, how did I miss the whole point of the passage? And you know, I think it's easy for us sometimes to miss the point. And that's what the disciples did, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, that is missing the point. As you see Mary come to the tomb and see that tomb being empty, she missed the whole point of the empty tomb. And it's interesting to realize that the first person who saw the risen Lord didn't recognize him. Now, she knew Jesus. She, had, of course, had seen him on many other occasions, but on this particular morning, on this resurrection morning, she didn't recognize him. She looked into the tomb, supposing to find the body of the Lord, but all she saw was angels. Isn't it interesting how the angels didn't seem to affect her? They didn't startle her. They didn't satisfy her curiosity. She just, where's Jesus? That's all she's concerned about. And I think if we would put ourselves beside Mary today, we would realize that Mary is typical of a great many of us. We sometimes go through life and really miss the important teachings of the empty tomb. What needs to happen to us is the thing that happened to Mary. This new recognition, a new revelation of Jesus Christ. You notice that only when he spoke her name did she realize who he was. And there's no way you or I or anybody else could reproduce the way Jesus said her name. Something about the way he said Mary caused her to realize this was Jesus. You know, when he had first spoken to her and he said, Woman, why are you weeping? She didn't know that it was the Lord. But as soon as he said her name, Mary, she recognized that it was Jesus. It was like the scales came off of her eyes and she recognized Jesus when she saw him. Now, how is it that she missed the whole point of the empty tomb? Instead of seeing the empty tomb and rejoicing and starting to sing praise and shout hallelujah, she wept. And the grief was so great that the Greek word here means that she wept with a long and loud lament. I mean, she was really carrying on here. She was terribly upset. And she lamented loud and she lamented long about where the body of Jesus had gone. Where have you laid the body of my Lord? Go, tell me, and I will go and I will get him. And her enthusiasm over this got the better of her. I don't know if that little woman could have carried his body. Especially when you consider all the spices that were put on that body for burial. Anyway, in her enthusiasm, she wasn't thinking very clearly, and she missed the point of the resurrection. And I would like to share just a few reasons why this morning people miss the point of the resurrection, and why we fail to see Jesus the way we really should see him. There are several reasons. One reason that has been suggested is that she couldn't see Jesus through her tears. And I think that's a valid point. I think that's a very real reason why she could have missed Jesus. She was so overcome with grief, so overcome with sadness, that her eyes filled with tears and she began to weep and she couldn't see through her tears. Do you know that sometimes it's hard for people to see Jesus today? It's hard for them to see him through their tears. There's a lot of difficulties. There's a lot of heartache in life. Sometimes our hearts are breaking. Sometimes circumstances seem to have turned against us. Sometimes our life seems to be going the wrong way. It's going down the tubes, and it's hard for us to see Jesus because of the tears and the heartaches that have taken hold of our lives. She supposed that Jesus was gone, and she did some unnecessary weeping here, thinking that he was still dead, and she didn't know where he was, and the weeping was unnecessary. And I think that there are times, again, in our life when there's great sorrow, heaviness, heartache. We lament loud and long. But if we could see the truth through our tears, we could understand that much of our grief really is unnecessary. I know it's hard. It's hard for people who've gone through some tragedy. It's hard for people whose lives have been turned upside down. It's hard for people whose lives have not gone the way they expected them to go. It's difficult when the things in our life just seem like they're a tangled mess of threads. It's difficult to see Jesus when we're so absorbed with our tears that they kind of put a veil over our face so that we can't see Jesus. But I want you to know today that Jesus would love to do nothing more than to wipe away the tears from your eyes and be your risen Savior and be your risen Lord and be your risen companion and friend. If you could wipe the tears away for a moment today, you would see Jesus standing there wanting to meet every need of your life. There's another reason why we can't see Jesus when he's standing right there in front of us, and that's because we're looking in the wrong direction. If you'll notice here, the Bible says that Mary had to turn. She had to turn around to see Jesus. She couldn't see him because she was looking in the wrong direction. And there's a sense that in many people's lives, they have turned in the wrong direction. They have begun to look in the wrong places to find answers to life's problems. And instead of looking in and looking to Jesus to find joy and peace in every situation and circumstance of life, they begin to look to the world and they try to look to the successes of the world, and they begin to look to friends and society or the politicians or the sociologists or somebody to try to make sense out of their lives. They're looking in the wrong direction. Because the joy and the happiness that comes from the world is not lasting joy, it's not lasting happiness. And somehow, when we begin to think that the world has the answers to our problems, things only get worse. The answers are found in Jesus. And if you're here today and you're looking for answers, and you haven't seen Jesus, could I suggest to you that you might be looking in the wrong place? You might be looking in the wrong direction. And you need to turn around and you need to look at the one who wants to speak peace to your heart. To look again to the risen Savior, to Jesus. Number three, why did Mary miss Jesus when he was standing right there? Because she was looking for a corpse instead of a living Lord. She was looking for a dead body instead of the risen Savior. And again, here are many people who have to agree with Mary. She went to that tomb. Amazing. If she would have found the body of Jesus, she would have been satisfied. If she would have found a dead body, she would have been satisfied. Still grieving, still sad, he was dead. But she would have been satisfied. See, her weeping is not because Jesus is dead. She's weeping because his body is missing. Tell me, if you have taken the body, tell me where you have taken it to, and I'll go get the body. And that will bring some kind of satisfaction into my life, if I have something tangible to hold on to. And so she's looking for the body, and she says to the gardener, who was really Jesus, you have taken him somewhere, tell me and I'll go get him. In other words, if I can just possess the corpse, if I can just believe that there was a Jesus on earth at one time, I'll be happy. Well, I want to tell you this morning that I am glad she did not find the body of Jesus. Because that would mean that he is still dead and he was still in that grave. But I'm glad that she didn't find what she was looking for, because none of us would be here this morning. We wouldn't be celebrating this great event that changed history and changed the world. There would be no resurrection. There would be no Easter. See, it's not always a bad thing if you can't find the thing that you're looking for. Sometimes the best thing that could happen to you is when you fail to find that which you are looking for. I think many of us today don't look for a living Lord. I wonder how many people came in here this morning expecting not to meet a living Lord. Did you come here to celebrate a Jesus who used to be? A Jesus who once walked upon this earth, a historical Jesus. A Jesus who once came but is now gone off into heaven somewhere. And I'm afraid that much of our worship and our thinking about Jesus is that we are worshiping a practical corpse. Now, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that. No, I'm worshiping Jesus. I know he's alive. But we sometimes act as if he isn't. We sometimes act like, well, he's all way off in heaven somewhere, and he's not concerned about me. But I want you to know that Jesus is concerned about you. And he is active in your life, and he wants to be even more active in your life. And he wants to come into your heart and into your life and have fellowship and communion. Jesus, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." It's not a dead corpse that's knocking at your door. It's a living Savior who wants to have fellowship and relationships with you. Strange things are always happening. Some bizarre things happen. Not too many years ago down in New Orleans, and this kind of stuff happens actually all over the world, but there was a Catholic church, you might have heard about it. The priest took one of those wafers, you know, like they would use for a mass, and he dropped it in the holy water, and he let it sit there. I don't know if he forgot about it or what, but he let it sit there for a couple of days, and it got soggy. After two or three days, they say, lo and behold, it turned into human flesh. They said it turned into the body of Jesus Christ. You know what they're doing? They're still looking for Jesus in the wrong places. I mean, people have these appearances of Mary and Jesus, and they go all over the world and say, there he is. Can I tell you, they're looking for Jesus in the wrong place? They're looking for him in the wrong, they're trying to have a wrong relationship with Jesus. There's an interesting statement that the Lord makes in this that has a lot to say to us. He says in John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." The idea there is stop clinging to me. Now, if you were Mary, what would you do? You'd been looking for Jesus. You've been looking for the body. All of a sudden, you find out that he's alive. Wouldn't you go throw yourself at his feet? Or wouldn't you just want to cling to him and not let him go? Just to hold him? And Jesus said, don't cling to me because I have to ascend up into my Father and to my God and your God. What is he saying? He's saying, Mary, the old relationship that we used to have is going to change. There's going to be a new relationship that now exists between us. It's not just a physical relationship anymore. There's going to be a spiritual relationship that needs to take place. And that's why Paul says, henceforth we know man, no man after the flesh, but now after the Spirit. And can I tell you that the faith, our faith does not rest upon the fact that they find the bones of Peter, or they find shards of the cross, or they can prove that the shout of Turim was actually belonging to Jesus Christ, or if we could find splinters of the cross that Jesus died on. That's not what our faith rests upon. Our faith doesn't rest upon those things. That's like worshiping Mary. That's like looking for a wrong Jesus. No, we're looking for a living Lord, a risen Savior. And I think many times we could just analyze our life and analyze the prayers that we pray. Do we really pray like God is alive in this world and at work in our lives and in our situations? He's at work in your life, in my life. So many times we think, well, yeah, I know God's alive, and he seems to be working for these people over here, and he seems to be working in this person over here, but, you know, what about me? I want you to know that God wants to work in your life just as much as he works in anybody else's life. And he's saying to you, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a relationship that is built on these spiritual truths, the spiritual truth of my resurrection. And there are a lot of people that just don't seem to quite get that, and they're looking for Jesus in the wrong place, and really they wind up missing the whole point. The whole point is simply this: Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. If you're here today and you've not invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, quite honestly, you've missed the point of the resurrection. He's just the first fruits. He's just the beginning. God wants to bring many more children into his family. And Christ has done it all for us. He's paid the terrible price of dying on the cross. He was buried in that grave for 3 days. But he rose again through the power of God. Nobody took the body of Jesus. The disciples didn't take it. The Romans didn't steal it. God raised Jesus from the dead. And now he offers that kind of quickening, resurrected life to you. So that Jesus is just the first fruits of the resurrection. That is the point of Easter. That's the point of the gospel. That's the point of why we celebrate the resurrection. Would you please, if you have not done so, just ask Jesus to come and to be your Savior and receive him into your life, accepting his sacrifice as payment for your sin. And if we come here today and we hear the preaching of the word and we sing all the songs and we hear the special that was sung, but if we don't go out of here today realizing that we have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, we have not met a living Lord, and we've missed the whole point. We've missed the whole point. I think there's a final reason why we miss the point of the resurrection, the point of this story, and that is we miss that God may be in the circumstances. We miss that God may be in the circumstance. We hear so often about, you know, you need to be careful of circumstances, because sometimes circumstances can deceive and leave us away from God. And that's true. That can happen. But look at the circumstances here. When Mary saw those two angels, don't you think that should have told her something? Something strange is going on here. It's amazing how we miss the obvious. If I tell you that two angels were around me, you would think God must have been there, wouldn't you? You would think the presence of God must have been around. Angels, These angels didn't make any impression on her. They said, "Woman, who are you looking for?" She turned away from the angels, not fascinated with the angels, not satisfied with the angels. And she turns toward this gardener, this man. "They've taken away my Lord. Tell me, where have you taken him, that I might go and get him?" See, she thought her whole dilemma was between her and other people. She thought that there was some in-between person, there was somebody else who had come along and taken away her Lord. But it wasn't somebody else's hand that had caused this mysterious disappearance to take place. This wasn't somebody else, this was God. The missing body of Jesus had to be, the only explanation had to be that somebody had taken him away. It never occurred to Mary that he might have taken himself away. Sometimes the clouds grow darker in our life because we fail to see God in the midst of the circumstances. We fail to see God's hand as he is working in the various circumstances of our life. And I tell you, you need to do something. You need to look for the hidden hand of God in the circumstances of your life. All Mary could see is what man had done. All she could see was an empty tomb. All she could see was a missing body. If she had looked beyond all of that and had taken the hidden hand of God into account, there would not have needed to be the tears that she had shed. I wonder this morning, as you look at your life and you see all the things that are happening in your life, and I'm talking about the unhappy things, the sad things, the disasters that you are going through, the difficulties that you are experiencing, I wonder this morning, have you missed the whole point? Are you able to look beyond the immediate and see the hand of God? Or do you just see people standing in your way? Or do you just see a set of unfavorable circumstances? What is it that you see? Do you realize that the hand of God is always at work? It's unseen, invisible, and so sometimes we give it no account. We take all the circumstances of our life and we calculate them, but we don't put God in the calculations. And that's why there's grief, and that's why there's tears, and that's why there's heartache and lack of hope. But things begin to change when we put God into our calculations. When we begin to think and have faith and hope that there is an unseen, hidden hand of God at work in all of these things. The next time you sit down and you begin to figure up the circumstances of your life, why not include God in your calculations? It'll make things a whole lot different. It'll give you a whole new perspective. Things will begin to be seen in the light of hope. There was a new recognition with Mary. And there was a new relationship with Jesus. And there was a new responsibility that was given to her. Again, notice what Jesus said, verses 17 and 18. "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, here's an interesting thing. Here is Mary, again, as we have talked about, naturally wanting to cling to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. You're going to have to let me go. Don't cling to me because I've not yet ascended to my Father." There's a new relationship that's based not on the old relationship of physical touch, but here there's a relationship that moves beyond that and a spiritual relationship. He says, "Now don't cling to me." There's another reason why he's saying don't cling to me. It's not just so that he can ascend to the Father. He's saying don't cling to me because you need to go and tell my disciples that I have risen from the dead. You see, if we come and celebrate Easter and we want to worship Jesus and we want to cling to that relationship that we have for him and we don't go and tell others that Jesus has risen, we've missed the point. Because the point is that we need to come and see where the Lord had laid, that he was dead, but he's alive again, and we need to spread that good news to as many people as we can. Hey, you know that Jesus is alive. And you know that Jesus is your Savior if you will let him be. And you know that Jesus wants to come into your life and he wants to change your life. He wants to take away the sin. He wants to get rid of all that garbage and that ugliness. But he wants to also establish a new relationship with you. And he wants to give you hope and he wants to be there through the difficult times of your life. And if you get the point of the resurrection, you're going to want to share it with others. Share that the Lord is risen and you have seen the Master. I know he's alive. The old song says, I know he lives because he lives within my heart. But there are some people who come to church and they never go and tell, they never mention the life of Jesus to anybody. We don't want to be guilty of that. We don't want to miss the point of the resurrection. The point is, as I said in the early service, the point is to come and see, but then go and tell. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I know this is a different kind of Easter message this morning. It really is. But I just felt that I needed to introduce or reintroduce you to a living Savior. You know, and I've always thought that the resurrection had to be one of the saddest days of Jesus' life. That might take you by surprise. But I say that because there was not a single person there to meet him when he arose. He told them he was going to rise. Even Mary remembered the words after the angels had warned her. But they'd all forgotten. They didn't believe. The Bible says that Peter was puzzled over those things. It never occurred to him that Jesus had risen. Can you imagine the disappointment that must have come to the Lord when he comes out of that grave on Easter Sunday morning, the greatest act of human history, and there's not a person there to meet him? Why? Because nobody believed him. They all missed the point. My prayer this morning is that we'll not miss the point of the resurrection. The point of the resurrection is that we have a new recognition of Jesus. We see him and we have a new relationship with him. And we have a new responsibility that's to tell others that we have seen the Lord. Are you here today? And you would say, Pastor, I have never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never asked him to be my Savior and my Lord. I guess up to this point, yeah, I've missed the main point of the resurrection. I've missed it. Today I realize that he died, he was buried, but he rose again for me. And I want to accept all that he did. I want to accept that as he did it for me. And today you are doing that for the first time. Could I see your hand? Just raise it up, put it down. I'd like to pray for you. That's all. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I wonder if there's anybody here who'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going through a difficult time. I've even shed some tears. Life has been hard. Life has been difficult. And I need to see Jesus through my tears. I just need to see him today. Amen. 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 You can put your hands on. He'll do that for you today. He'll do that. You just make sure you're looking in the right place. How many here? Is there anybody here? Say, by a raised hand, you know, Pastor, I believe all this stuff that you've talked about. I've received Jesus as my Savior. But I've never shared that with anybody. And I would like you to pray for me that God would give me courage to be able to share that. God would give me boldness to be able to share what he's done in my life with somebody else. Can I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as people are inviting you into their heart and in their life today, I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would bear witness with their spirit that they have become a child of God. As many as receive you, to them you give the power to become the sons of God. Thank you, Lord, for that experience. Lord, I pray for those that are going through difficult times today. Lord, having difficulty seeing you through the tears, I pray, Lord, that you would come alongside of them, that you would wipe the tears from their eyes, that you would draw close to them. They would feel the love and the power and grace of the risen Lord, the risen Savior, their risen friend, the one who ever lives to make intercession for them, the one who is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I pray, Lord, for this one that has raised their hand, asking for boldness to be able to share a testimony with others, with somebody else. Lord, grant them that boldness. Grant them that courage and that confidence this morning. And Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that our Lord is alive. And I pray that we would do more than just come to church and celebrate another day on the calendar. I pray that we'd hear Jesus speak our name, and that we would come to understand that with the risen Lord, we have a new relationship and we have a new responsibility. Let us not miss the whole point of the greatest thing that you ever did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great day with family, friends, but keep the Lord in mind all day. You're dismissed.